Ladies and gentlemen, it is 6 o'clock on April 15th, 2019, and I welcome you all to the town council meeting for the town of Curry Beach. We will start with the invocation and pledge of allegiance from Reverend Williams.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Got to take a tour a while ago. I'm very impressed. Mike took me on a tour of the police department a while ago, and I told him, like I just told this gentleman right here, when I started this police department in 1971 in the old building, the police department, we had a room back there that was 6 foot by 12 foot. That was the police department. Period. We had one car, and the chief and I had to fight over who was going to drive it first. So you really come a long way, and the work that's been done here.
Yeah. Well, that belongs to the people in this room.
It does. See? All you. Now, that didn't mean you have to mop the floor or anything. It's all you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we gather here today with the intent of doing good works for the town that you have given us, the town of Curry Beach. Lord, for the council members up here, I pray and I know that they seek to represent you fairly and wisely, and the task that you're giving them here tonight. And Lord, may their efforts be blessed with your insight, guided by your understanding and your wisdom. Lord, we seek to serve you with respect for all things that are done here. And Lord, may our personal faith, strength, and honesty that we have in all matters we brought before us serve you. So Lord, for the council, I ask you to lead them and guide them and to direct them for doing what is best for the town that they represent and they serve. And most of all, for us people. People who are gathered here tonight, the ones who are concerned about this town and everything that goes on with it. And Lord, I just ask you to put a blessing on everything that's done here tonight. Lord, I next pray for our country and the leaders in Washington, the leaders in Raleigh, leaders in the county, leaders here tonight. I pray that they will join together. This is directed at the ones in Washington and Raleigh. And they will join together and put aside their differences and work for their people. That is us again. And Lord, I just ask you to let them do the things that they're supposed to be doing up there, because they are servants of you also. And Lord, I ask you to lead them and guide them in doing the things that you want them to do for us. And Lord, we thank you now for all that you've given us. Again, especially this building. And I thank you for everything that you do for me and everything that you do for people in this room. And I say this in your son's name. Amen. 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 Here's the absolute sample.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Williams. First order of business is the consent agenda. Do we have any proposed changes to the consent agenda?
I recommend we move number 6 to the persons to address council, since it's related. The proclamation in support of National Safe Boating.
Okay. And you want to move that where?
That is there.
Under number 1?
It is, right?
No. He wants to move it to number 1.
So after he presents, we can do our proclamation as opposed to consent agenda.
Okay. Anything else?
Make a motion we pass the consent agenda as modified.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any comments? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next is the adoption of the agenda. Any changes to the published agenda?
Just the change that we just...
Just the change we just discussed, yes. Any others?
I make a motion we accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
As presented and amended?
Yes, and as amended.
Okay. And you, did I have a second?
Second.
All right. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Discussion and consideration of persons to address council. The first person will be Lieutenant David Parker.
I am standing in front of Lieutenant Parker. My name is Captain Ed Otters. I am the commander of the Cape Fear Salem Power Squadron for 2019. I also have other members of the squadron with us here tonight. Cape Fear Salem Power Squadron is a local chapter of America's Boating Club, and we learn to improve our navigational skills and boat handling through education, engage with our boating friends with regular meetings and other social activities, and we connect with our community with various volunteer events. And we can be easily contacted through CapeFearSalemPowerSquadron.org. Now, wearing a life jacket is an important part of boating safety. This is something that should be done all year round. There are many so-called reasons for not wearing a life jacket, but these reasons don't hold water. Modern inflatable life jackets, like the one I'm wearing now, as well as some of our other members, are comfortable and don't restrict movement. Wear them. They save lives. National Safe Boating Week, May 18th to 24th, 2019, allows us to bring additional focus to the wearing of life jackets. The Cape Fear Salem Power Squadron firmly supports this proclamation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments on that proclamation?
Do we want to read it or bring it up?
Wait a minute, I believe I have a copy in here.
You do as well. I'll be glad to read it if you'd like.
Do you have it? Go ahead.
I do, yes, sir.
All right.
So Proclamation 19-01 in support of National Safe Boating Week. Sorry, am I loud enough? Whereas year-round people continue to enjoy all that our natural environment has to offer through the joy of boating, and whereas National Safe Boating Week is observed to bring attention to important life-saving tips for recreational boaters so that they can have a safer, more fun experience out on the water, and whereas on average 650 people die each year in boating-related accidents in the U.S., with approximately three-fourths of these being fatalities caused by drowning, and whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment and not by the boat, equipment, or environmental factors, and whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today had they worn their life jackets, and whereas today's life jackets are more comfortable, more attractive, and more wearable than styles of years past, now, therefore, be it proclaimed that Curie Beach Town Council hereby supports the goals of the North American Safe Boating Campaign, Wear It, and proclaim May 18th through 24th, 2019, as National Safe Boating Week and the start of the year-round effort to promote safe boating, and also supports the Cape Fear Sail and Power Squadron, which is a major provider of boating safety training in our area. Proclaim this 15th day of April, 2019.
Okay, heard the proclamation. Any questions on that?
I make a motion that we agree to the proclamation as read.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, Denise Hubbard. Welcome, Denise. If you would tell us, please, where you live.
My full name is Denise Beloit Hubbard. I live at 818 Cutter Court in Curie Beach. And Mayor, I was checking my notes, but I already realized I forgot something. I meant to speak with you before the start of the council meeting to request your permission to ask council members to hold questions till the end of the presentation.
Well, that'll be fine.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good evening, councilmen, citizens, and staff. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak with you this evening. I will be presenting a program addressing the stormwater issues that occurred during Hurricane Florence. At completion of the program, I believe council will clearly see the need for a comprehensive analysis of our current and future stormwater needs. This analysis should be conducted by a trained professional in the field. Council should develop a plan to implement the recommendations of the analysis in a timely manner. All federal and state infrastructure sources should be utilized to minimize the impact on the citizens of Kiri Beach. There are specific suggestions within the PowerPoint that can be done immediately. Examples are increased maintenance of the stormwater systems, swales, and ditches, increased enforcement of existing stormwater regulations and anticipation of the upcoming storm season, and the encouragement of all HOAs to draw down retention ponds, their water levels prior to a storm event. Unfortunately, this program will only be looking at systems north of K Avenue. I was unable to get the data to go through a thorough examination of issues south of K. There are three gentlemen who were instrumental in putting this program together. I'm going to acknowledge them at the end. The town of Kiri Beach is a recognized leader in flood plan management. In 2015, the town, led by Building Inspector John Batson, received a rating by the National Flood Insurance Agency that saved our citizens money when purchasing flood insurance. At the time, there were 985 flood insurance policies in force in Kiri Beach. This represented more than $259 million in flood insurance coverage. Efforts like this, and like the actions of Public Works, every day, but especially during our storms, make me confident that there is no challenge this town can't overcome. Early on September 14, 2018, Hurricane Florence made landfall just south of Rice Beach and stayed for several days, resulting in widespread flooding in Kiri and Carolina Beach. This is an example of a video I tried to shoot from the second floor deck in our home on Cover Court approximately 2:30, 3 o'clock Sunday morning. It was so dark and the rain was so torrential, I was not able to actually get out onto the street to videotape this. One of the severity of that storm is really hard for individuals who are not actually on the island to even fathom. But one of the most potent examples, Jimmy, was your crew. They were out there, 4 o'clock in the morning, clearing a grave at the corner of Ashley and Sloop Point. One of your workers happened to look up and notice, now the power was on. The power came on Saturday night about 8:30 or 9 o'clock. This worker noticed that the water level was rising to hit an electrical outlet. Everybody immediately vacated the area. Months later, we went back to get an elevation. That was 2 feet. So that shows you the severity of the impact of that storm on our village. Residents of our town have said to me, well, you need to thank the Lord that it was only 2 or 3 inches that infiltrated your home. Let me tell you my experience that night. I wanted to check on my brother-in-law about 2:30 in the morning. Sitting downstairs, I've been out working the grate since 12:30. And I heard the strangest sound that I've ever heard, comparable to the earthquake my husband and I experienced, unfortunately, in Rome. But it appeared as if the entire foundation had shifted, and the water came in like that, rushing in. 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inches. You don't know when it's going to stop. The power's on. I can't get to my circuit breaker to turn it off because I was worried about getting electrocuted. And then you worry, is there going to be a fire? In 2001, flood shown here, it was less severe than Florence, but is representative of the amount of standing water on Cover Court. After this flood, large pipes were installed and the flooding problem was alleviated until 2016 to the present. The interesting thing about that, that's actually my home. There's now Tom and Diane Russell's houses to the right of that. But behind me is Hamby Beach, now part of Curie Beach. The water coming off that area looked like a waterfall. That's Little Down Road back there. I've never in my life would have believed that if I hadn't seen it myself. Next slide. The gentleman in the middle of the cul-de-sac towards the end of Cutter Court, you can see the water level is approximately knee-deep. The significant, can you back up too? Because I do want them to see there's the homes. One more, Vito, if you wouldn't mind. You see two gentlemen between the houses, the white and green, the gentleman on the left. The water level is almost at hip length. Now again, this was a nor'easter that blew in sometime around, I think it was late February of 2001. All right, now you can move forward, sir. This was my attempt at comic relief that has been destroyed with the rhythm. But that's an example of my house. One of my neighbors concerned about the floodwaters beginning to creep up our driveway called me. Being a novice to flooding, I opened the garage door and immediately the house was flooded. We don't have any pictures of Sunday morning floodwaters in Curie Beach, but I wanted you to see this. This is around Carolina Beach Lake, 3 days after Hurricane Florence. I want you to remember this. We're going to reference forward to information I've got a little later in the program. In an effort to determine the scope of flooding within Curie Beach Village, former KBB HOA Board of Directors Officer Vito Formica created, distributed, and collected a simple questionnaire asking if homeowners had water intrusion due to floodwaters caused by the torrential rains which overwhelmed the stormwater systems. The questionnaire is on your left. There were more than 40 residents from Curie Beach Village indicating residential water intrusion due to, quote, the subsequent rain and rising water, unquote. Even with the positive responses, there is anecdotal evidence that the number of households with water intrusion is underrepresented. Why? Fear that responding or reporting would result in higher insurance rates, lower resale property values. Including homes identified by the town, 75 residents were identified as having water intrusion due to the flooding. And as you can see from that, the vast majority were clustered around Settlers and Cutter Court. Possible contributing factors. Development and loss of wetlands. Development is necessary for the growth of any community. It is a net positive for the quality of life. A better tax base means more services. But we have to recognize it comes with a cost, the need for increased infrastructure and additional maintenance, unintended consequences for existing infrastructure. Coastal property has always been in high demand, and developers naturally want to maximize every square inch. Properties which were once maritime forests and wetlands are now the site of some of our homes. Now, I'm not saying anything was done illegally or improperly. In fact, I believe our home, the city, was once a wetland. This is a diagram of Curie Beach Club, now known as Curie Beach Village. The dark blue line, can you make that out from here, folks? I think you should be able to. Is a boundary of the original beach club development. Light blue lines are stormwater pipes. And you can't really tell from here, but Gulfstream Drive was referred to as Sea Lane Drive and extended through what is now the Keys Retention Pond. Okay. As Curie Beach Village expands, a town-owned development, the Keys, are added. Using a retention pond to handle the stormwater and runoff, the Keys Retention Pond may overflow the Curie Beach Village stormwater system. Note, and we'll get to this a little later, neighboring community Curie Dunes Retention Pond overflows to the Keys. This slide shows further expansion of Puri Beach Village. They're using a retention pond and stormwater piping, 2 anchors ditch, to handle stormwater runoff. Puri Estates came later. Originally part of a maritime forest, it required changes to the natural elevation. It uses a retention pond and swales to handle stormwater runoff. Note, the Puri Estates retention pond overflows the Puri Beach Village stormwater system. I want to give you a definition of a swale. I didn't know it when I was doing this research and was frankly surprised. A swale is a depression created in the ground that carries rainwater by gravity away from your home and property. It is designed to collect water and gradually allow it to infiltrate the soil below, as opposed to a ditch, which is designed to move water from one location to another. We're all familiar with periodic torrential rains. We can get 2 to 3 inches fall in an hour, 2 hours. Those swales aren't designed to handle that kind of capacity, to handle that rain. What winds up happening, it overflows going into people's yards or winds up back into the road, further impacting the existing stormwater system. Sea Watch was built on the site of the Lapeque Corrosion Research Site, essentially in a basin. Those of you who lived here prior to 2004 should remember that. It was fascinating, and looking at old slides, hard to believe how much this community has changed in a relatively short period of time. Sea Watch now uses a retention pond to handle stormwater runoff. To create their current height. Hundreds of truckloads of dirt were necessary to achieve it. But it looks beautiful. Additional developments north of K Avenue include Puri Dunes, control stormwater using a retention pond that overflows to the Keys retention pond. And you remember, that overflows to the Puri Beach Village system. Beachwalk controls stormwater using 2 joint retention ponds that originally overflowed to a planned retention pond in Puri Dunes on Salmon Drive, which has been removed. It's been filled in.
That's not correct. The Beachwalk pond never, the water went the other way. The Beachwalk pond never was designed to overflow to the Sandman pond.
This information came from North Carolina Division of Water Quality.
The permits don't read that way.
It's not a permit, it's a schematic, sir.
I'm telling you how the permits are written because we've been talking with Sandman about this issue. The water has never flowed from Beachwalk pond to Sandman.
I don't doubt that you're accurate. I'm just telling you what the schematic said.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to share that with you.
I'm sorry, I should have held it to the end.
It does overflow to a ditch that runs parallel to K Avenue, which eventually migrates to the Cape Fear River. Other developments closer to Fort Fisher Boulevard use swales and ditches to control stormwater runoff. Now we come to rain. Starting in 2014, average annual rainfall is 57 inches, 0.61. In 2014, rainfall total is 59.7. I don't know how quickly to go, if you understand what you're looking at. The green area indicates the gradual increase of the rain. So that's why the line is it doesn't change, it gradually goes up. The other line is the temperature during that period of time. So in 2015, 73.47 inches fell. 2016, the rainfall total was 71.64 inches. 2017 rainfall totaled 62.64, still well above the average, which was 57.61 in 14. And we all know about 2018. It broke all records, made the national news at 102.40 inches. Now, I'm sure you've heard people in the community regularly talk about Henniker's Ditch, the Great Mystery Ditch. Well, it is the primary conduit for stormwater runoff to the Cape Fear River for both Curie and Carolina Beach. Community access to Henniker's Ditch, Carolina Beach is in that yellow. Carolina Beach actually has multiple access points that are not listed on this map. Curie Beach is in blue, and the common outlet to Cape Fear is in green. Flood maps showing the location of the Curie Beach connection to Henniker's Ditch and the K Avenue overflows. At the top of the screen is the Henniker's Ditch line, and the bottom is K Avenue. For those of you that live in Beachwalk, I see some folks from that community. Flooding Doran Florence clustered around Cape Village and Henniker's Ditch access. This is a photo from 2009. The picture on the left, before a cleanup was done, you can see the dramatic difference the cleanup made after it occurred. The Curie Beach section of the ditch was approved again in 2016. Unfortunately, I don't have any pictures of that. In 2016, Carolina Beach increased access to Henniker's Ditch by adding a second 16-inch force main line, doubling the amount of discharge to the ditch. Remember I told you to look back to that lake photo of Carolina Beach? One of the reasons I wanted to include that in there was to show you, even with this new improved pumping system, you saw the flood yourself. That whole area was underwater. We also have shifting flood designations. 100-year floods happening more frequently, documented. More powerful storms occurring, categories 4 and 5. Florence was a category 4 before being downgraded, making landfall as a very slow-moving category 1. In Curie Beach, the 100-year flood plan is migrating from the ocean side to the Cape Fear River and will eventually affect everyone's insurance rates. This is an article that appeared in the Port City, City Daily, July 17, 2018. This is 2 solid months prior to Florence. I'll read you the fourth paragraph because I think it's important. In New Hanover County, not including Wilmington city limits, approximately 698 structures will be added to FEMA's AE zone. The zone is referred to as a 100-year floodplain, slightly less risky than the BE zone, which is designated for high velocity area subject to wave action. Sounds very complicated. I hope to clear that up on the next slide. This is a map of the 2006 FEMA designated flood areas. The area in blue is 1% per year probability of flooding during a 100-year flood period. VE, represented by the yellow, 1% or greater probability of flooding, probable flood before a 30-year mortgage is paid off. The actual statistical average for those 30-year marker is 26 years. So if you have a 30-year loan and you're in it for 26 years and you're in that zone, odds are you're going to flood. This is a blow-up of that area. I thought it'd be helpful for you to be able to see and identify the streets. You may even be able to locate your home, a friend's home. Again, 2006. This is 2019. There is now a 2% flood hazard. This now includes most of Curie Beach Village north of Curie Village Way to Slough Point to Alabama, and again is moving greater into Sea Watch. It's 13 years difference, pretty significant. The bottom right of that line is the 2006 mark for the end of the category. Most of us were in at that point. Second, the end of that is the change since 2019, 962 feet toward the Cape Fear River. If we just move again slightly less than that last 13-year expanse, we'll be into Sunny Point. Questions to be addressed. We are experiencing more frequent and more powerful climate events where our current stormwater system is overwhelmed. Does Henniker's Ditch need to be expanded? Widened? More access points? We're competing for ditch space with Carolina Beach. They pump water. Ours is gravity driven. Does our approach need to be more active than passive? Pumps? More pumps? What federal state assistance is available to help us solve our stormwater problem? Why now? Because all of our stormwater systems are interrelated. When one reaches capacity, it overflows to the next. A failure of one retention pond leads to a cascading failure of others, eventually leading to a failure of the entire system. This leads to homes being flooded, causing unnecessary short-term and long-term costs to homeowners. This destroys home values, resulting in a shrinking tax base. Short-term costs, cost of repair, long-term costs, loss of property value, and damaging effects on resale. Many residents have drainage systems, temporary and permanent, to remove stormwater from their property. Those systems are useless once the stormwater system fails. We can get the water out of our yards. We can get our neighbor's water out of our yards. We can't get the town's water out of our yard. What we're asking for, again, in my opening remarks, I said a comprehensive analysis of our current and future stormwater needs. Implementation of recommendations coming from that analysis. The use of any and all federal and state infrastructure funding sources to minimize the financial impact of the citizens of Pure Beach. Increased maintenance of stormwater systems, swales, and ditches. Increased enforcement of existing stormwater regulations in anticipation of the upcoming storm season. Encourage HOAs to draw down retention pond water levels before storm events. Thank you. I know this ran long. Let me briefly, Bob Poole, gentleman in the white shirt, thank you for your technical expertise and reminders to only include factual information. Jim Dugan, I saw you here, for your invaluable history in a leadership position with the town and your treasure trove of documents. Vito Formica, your assistance with sending information to members of the village, providing the database for those that experienced flooding. I don't know where John Bassett is, I didn't see him, but I had a special shout out. Where are you, John?
He's hiding my
Special shout out to you. I know when you went home at night, you prayed that you wouldn't be receiving one of those pesky Malloy Club emails the first thing in your morning. What a way to start today. Please know I do appreciate your efforts to provide you with the information I needed to try to make this presentation as accurate as possible. Nancy Avery, everyone in the room should stand for her. She is, and I can attest this is factual too, the only one in the state of North Carolina who was able to find the missing link to the Beach Cove Club access things, all which this report was dependent. And you did this very shortly after moving back over to this finished, gorgeous building. So really, kudos to you, and I appreciate the effort you did for our community in finding that. And finally, my Paul. Thank you.
Denise, thank you. Thank you very much for the time you put into this. Obviously, there's a lot of information there. Some of it, I don't know how much of it is technically driven. I know a lot of it is factual based on information. We have done quite a few things since our first discussion, but I think tonight, in recognition of what you did, we should really prepare a response to let you know that Jimmy and his team, we've walked these ditches personally, all five of us. We've talked to Matsu about getting some things done. We have in-kind work, hopefully, that we can get approved. So let us absorb your information, and we'll come back to the town, because I appreciate the work and the compassion that you put into it.
I appreciate
right?
that, and please consider hiring somebody to come in and do it, a master plan for the entire community. Last words, that's all. Thank you for
that. Well, we actually do have an engineer that we do use for that, and we need to we'll need to have a discussion with him about this information. So
okay.
I accept the information you're offering, and we have to look at it from a plans perspective. I don't know if there's any comments from the team because...
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. The town's, over the last 4 years, we've spent a lot of money on stormwater, but it's not to be said that you can't always get better. All of these systems were designed for an inch and a half of water in 2 hours. And as you pointed out, that's pretty tight design criteria for what we're starting to see. Expanding it is a big issue, and I think the only way to do that is to have someone study it. So I'm in support of that.
Okay.
We're in the budget phase right now, so timing is pretty apropos. And I'm sure Arlen's cringing wherever he's at, but
they're on the front row.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't see you. You're in the dark shirt.
It was moving further.
So it's would've been nice 6 weeks ago, but it's good now. We still got some time. So
if I could have had it,
that's all right. That's all right.
We had circumstances.
No. I understand.
Not a problem.
So I think we're fortunate that we can still send Arlen changes. A little curveball now and then is good for him.
Okay.
So we appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Yep, thank you.
I do appreciate your efforts, and I look forward to hearing from you. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you very much to all of you who are involved. The third individual to address council is Jeff Castarella.
Hello, council. Thank you for having me back here today so I can present to you two things. I think you have handouts. One is a surveyor map, which is an update of where things stand with the encroachment agreement, which is an exhibit of the placement of the pool. And then the second handout is trying to nail down what I hope is the final detail, which is the surrounding decking, to get your input on that. The second handout that lays out the decking fits within the encroachment easement as drawn by Pat Bristow, but it does specify specific lengths of the deck. So I'm here mostly to see if you have any questions, input on that. I think this will probably be, I hope, the last step.
I would tell you that this is somewhat problematic. And it is problematic based on what council passed last council. I realize that this area, the larger pool, does not exceed the area that you have asked for an encroachment. I realize that. We're still talking about the same depth, but I would tell you, I don't know if you had a chance to read the letter that I had sent out, that we will no longer be approving encroachments on the beach. The reason we have decided that we aren't going to do that is because, frankly, we've made a mistake. Even though we have signed contracts, and those contracts are from good citizens like yourself, if you do not act in time for the Corps of Engineers or anybody else during any of these significant storms, that will fall on the town. And a bigger pool in that area will cost us more to remove if the town has to remove it, and these fine people need to pay for it. So at least in my view, we've judged on this, and we're not changing anything that we had approved. And we have approved your initial design, but we have not. We have agreed that we would not be approving anymore. Now, I'm just stating what we voted on last meeting, I believe.
So can you explain the change? Because I don't understand it. I mean, you said it fit in the easement, so what's the change then?
The pool that is specified here is the one that you all...
Yep, 12 by 20. Yep, okay.
That's right. So I'm not asking for larger pool. So all I'm doing now, because it wasn't outlined with numbers in my original sketch is just saying, what will the decking look like around the already approved sized pool?
And the issue okay. to come back is that that's not approved. John, you can't approve because it wasn't in the easement? Is that the issue?
Hang on, I'm confused.
Right. That's why I'm asking.
This says a...
They both say 12 by 20.
They both say 12 by 20.
That's what I just...
The original.
Then why is the deck...
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to figure out
what's happened.
Why is he here? So I understand, because I don't understand.
I'm not entirely sure. This just came up today. You got okay. approved of the 15-foot encroachment and a 12 by 20 pool, and Mr. Castorella wants to nail down the size or dimensions of his decking now. So,
and make sure it's okay.
So you stayed at the 12 by 20?
Yes.
Well, did he ask you and you said no, go to council, or he hadn't asked you yet?
I think he actually emailed Ms. Avery, and Ms. Avery told him to consult with me and decided to tell him to come to council.
Okay. Well, so, go ahead, Nancy.
If it was different from what I told you was already signed, and I discussed that with Mr. Batson, and he said that was acceptable. So the council's going to need to understand what's different.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, right? If it fits in the easement that we granted, I'm not sure if he asked you for a building permit, if you'd give it to him or not. That's the question, I guess.
I've issued the building permit.
Okay. Okay, so what am I missing? I'm missing something, right?
Yeah. Well, there was a larger pool at some point in time.
Yeah, right.
I got a phone call from
our
attorney or someone
right.
that talked about a larger pool.
Right.
I thought that's what we were going to discuss tonight.
Okay, good.
Okay.
You're on the right track. Nice. Okay, so let's get to the chase. Where are we at, right?
My concern was that this exhibit by the surveyor is going to be the exhibit that's attached to the agreement that the mayor is signing.
Yep.
And it does specify a 12 by 20 pool, but it does not say anything about the size of the surrounding decks. Okay. So I just want to make sure that we have that nailed down.
Fair enough. Well,
the only thing I'd ask is why, and the other thing that confused me is why is the deck smaller? It went from 15 feet to 7 feet.
Well, that's this way versus
when
long
the pool
ways.
Didn't.
He's not specifying the surveyor with the 15 feet. I think that's the length of the encroachment. That's not the deck, per se.
Yeah, but these are going this way.
He's not specifying the deck.
He doesn't have power.
Yeah, but this says it's 15 feet. Oh, that's the length. Okay.
Length, 15 feet that way. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's not specifying that.
So,
again, I got to ask.
I'm not sure what we're changing.
Did you pick up the encroachment?
No.
So if it fits in the easement, would you give him a building? He's already got a building permit, so I'm not sure what's changing. Are you concerned that the easement is not specific enough? Because of the way it's written?
I want to make sure, based on my own mistakes so far,
okay,
that this is clear.
Okay, fair enough.
And there's no discrepancies with what, so John knows that you guys are okay with what I have on this exhibit. I just want to make sure it's clean.
So nothing's essentially changed, just the drawing's more accurate.
Yes, and I'm trying to nail down the size of those decks, so it's more accurate. That's it.
Well, if nothing's essentially changed, I don't know, we need to discuss
it. As long as it fits in the approved easement that we granted,
yeah.
What are we...
And the pool
well, that's
not
our
larger.
Thoughts.
Right.
Building inspector, is that your thoughts too?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So the pool specified and the rest of it is on... The easement agreement.
The easement.
So that tells you how big the deck is.
Okay.
I think. I mean,
that's fair.
If the building inspector's okay with that, because I agree with the mayor, you know, we're not going to make it any bigger, but if you can fit it in what has already been agreed to, I think we're in a favor of that, because we're not going to go back and punish you for realizing we were wrong earlier, right? You got in under the wire.
And so, I'm sorry.
That's why I was asking the question, because I was looking at it trying to figure out, okay, what is different? I don't understand. So that's because in your drawings, you have neither one of them have all the measurements that they should on either side. So
I'm
you can't match them up.
I'm hoping that my measurements I will give to Pat and he will put them as part of his exhibit and it will be done.
As long as he doesn't expand the easement, right? I think that's okay.
So your surveyor is going to be somehow within these things.
Of course. He has to.
Any comments, gentlemen?
No.
No, as long as it fits within the easement, I'm good.
You're not changing the size of the pool, you're not changing the requests on the easement, so I'm not sure that we need to talk about it anymore.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Good.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of committee business, community center. Marketing committee. Shoreline access and beach protection.
I'd just like to thank Jimmy and the folks in Public Works for putting up the new beach access signs. They look good, and I think we're almost done. We've got one or two more access points to put signs up at, but that's it. They got them up really fast and really nicely done.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, committee. Thank you, Jimmy. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you. Greg Galbraith, Chairman of Planning and Zoning Commission. You have before you two items that we'd like to go through. The first one is a recommendation regarding the special use permit application for Sun Fun Rentals. We discussed this. This was presented to us, I believe, two meetings ago. Came back. You know, two meetings ago, we identified that this would fall under a special use permit requirement. The applicant came back, applied for a special use permit. During our last meeting, we discussed this. We forwarded to you with a recommendation. I believe it's about five or six conditions attached to this particular one. A few of the conditions, because if you didn't want to slow it down, a few of the conditions are a little broad. We did have a discussion, for example, about the egress and ingress related to this. We certainly felt that it should be, I believe, on 3rd Avenue, but there's some discussion as to whether that could actually happen. So you see that one of the conditions that we have is right turn only on Fort Fisher. But certainly we did have a discussion of preference related to egress and ingress on only on 3rd Avenue. The other is the lighting plan. We did not have a lighting plan before us. The feeling is that this is in the B1 district. When every year in the B1 district, you have to be very concerned about lighting, for example, particularly if this is a dusk to dawn type of lighting there. So what we did is we forwarded to you with a recommendation that the lighting plan be presented tonight that is appropriate for the B1 district. The things that we talked about, but since we didn't have a lighting plan in front of us, we couldn't really approve it subject to a particular lighting plan. But we certainly talked about the idea that any sort of light be fully shielded, there not be any sort of what's called lighting trespass onto adjacent properties. You can identify that by the foot candles that would be on adjacent property, these sort of things. So anyway, our recommendation is to approve this subject to the conditions that we identified, plus consideration, specific consideration regarding the lighting. And I believe, John, do you have any more information about this?
I've received all of the information that P&Z has requested. It should be in your packets for your next meeting.
And this would require a public hearing. This requires going to public hearing.
So P&Z recommends this is executed based on the conditions that they've identified.
Yes, but we did not have in front of us, one, we didn't have a building, okay? We identified the building that we thought would be appropriate because it wasn't identified, so I believe that was now submitted to you with the building that we identified. I believe that is in there. We didn't have a lighting plan before us, but we recommended subject to a lighting plan being presented tonight that would be appropriate for the downtown. So again, concerned about having fully shielded lights. Given that it is a dusk to dawn, you don't want to have these farm type of lights where, you know, that would be seen by everybody downtown, both residents as well as business. So, you know, something that would be fully shielded, that you wouldn't have lighting trespass into adjacent properties. But again, we did not have a lighting plan in front of us, so it's very difficult to approve it.
Sure.
So we're recommending as long as it has an appropriate lighting plan associated with it. And then just to point out that we did have a discussion regarding the egress and the ingress, but our recommendation is right turn only on Fort Fisher if it can't come out of 3rd Avenue location.
Okay.
Again, we didn't have full information, but we didn't want to stall this an additional month to get this information. We wanted to push it forward to the council.
All right. Gentlemen, I propose we set a public hearing to discuss this for the next council meeting.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Craig, I was reading through the procedures, and this may be a a real picky point, but it says special use permit application shall only be submitted by the property owner or their duly authorized agent. And all this was filled out by the company.
There's a document that allows them to be the duly authorized agent. Okay.
So it doesn't technically have to be done by Sam, the owner of the property?
No, they can.
They're going to lease that property?
They can sign an agreement that they would be the duly authorized agent, which I think would be in the packet.
Yeah, there actually is, that document is in here.
Yes.
Authority for appointed agent.
Yep. Okay.
So you have a time for your proposed public hearing?
Yes, I think we should probably do it, potentially set it an hour before the next council meeting. Nancy, when is the next council meeting?
May 20th.
May 20. I would propose, let's have a motion. Anyone?
Make a motion, we set a public hearing. Do we need an hour or 30 minutes? It should take an hour.
I think there could be a lot of discussion on this.
So 5 p.m. May 20th,
right,
at Town Hall?
I'll second.
We have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And is it at the public hearing or after the representative has to be here? I assume they would be at the public hearing as well.
They should be here.
But they have to be here. The other one.
Yes.
They have to be at the council consideration of special use permit, if it's on the agenda.
And I would assume that your recommendation set for public hearing would then require them to come with a lighting plan and the sort of things that we talked about identifying.
Yes.
Is that something they could get to us beforehand so we could be familiar with it?
They can submit it as early as they like, but it should be sometime. You have it? All right, good. Well, then we can take a look at it.
I'll forward those on to you tomorrow. I'm going to wait for the agenda packets, but I'll go ahead and send them to you tomorrow.
Okay. And P&Z as well, because they should comment on it. Do you have a meeting before the 20th?
Yes, we do. Yeah, ours is the second weekend in May.
Yeah, the 8th, we had to move it for John.
And during that judicial-type procedure, we have to... We get testimony. Do we get testimony from P&Z as well, or is it just the requesters? No. What I meant, Andy, is who must testify in the public meeting or after the public meeting?
Well, actually, it should be the person who seeks the special permit. Then you need to have Mr. Galbraith, Chairman of the Planning and Zoning, as to what their findings were. Mr. Batson, your code enforcement officer and building inspector, and anyone else that they're going to present in their favor. I don't know who that is. Okay. It could be a lawyer, it could be a planner, whatever. I don't know.
Okay. I just want to make sure that everybody who's expected to be here is aware and ready to go. Okay? All right.
Second item. This is a proposed text amendment, Chapter 19 Zoning, Article 3, District Regulations, Division 10. This is the B1 Business District, Section 243, which are permitted in special uses in the B1 District. And in our discussion, obviously, of this particular application, a little bit of a background before I come to this proposal right before you is that there's been a fairly recent case decision by the North Carolina Supreme Court that basically says that if you don't identify prohibited uses in your zoning, then they are allowable uses. And this is, it's going to require a lot of changes on the part of every zoning ordinance around, because again, we've done just like everybody else in Fury Beach, is that we say that these are allowable, and if it's not identified, then it's not allowable. That is no longer allowable. If you will. So anyway, what we need to do, and you'll probably hear from us over the next couple months, a lot of proposals like this. We're going to try to package all at one time and not piecemeal it, where we're going to be starting to identify a lot more uses and prohibited uses specifically for the different zones within Curie Beach. Related to that, this came up because we did not identify specifically golf cart rentals. Okay, and so we immediately assumed that it would be prohibited. Okay, in further discussion with the building inspector, he felt that this would fall under something that actually did require a special use permit, which is the parking lot status. So that's what the special use permit is coming under. However, to clean up the language related to at least this particular use, we are proposing that for the B1 district that we specifically identify SIC code, Standard Industrial Classification Code 7999, which is what golf cart rentals are in, and specifically identify also golf cart rentals and specifically place that into this particular chapter as a requirement for special use, which is exactly what we just went through, but it just kind of cleans up the language a little bit. So our recommendation is to approve this.
Okay.
Does it require a public hearing?
Yes, this also requires a public hearing. Probably not quite as long.
Well, we should do them at the same time, I would think. It's the same topic, right? So I make a motion we make this the second item on the public hearing that we just scheduled for 5 p.m. on May 20th.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. Thank you for all the work.
I think there's a question out there.
Craig?
Yes.
I go back to Carolina Beach. Right. Are these golf carts or low-speed vehicles? Low-speed vehicles have
these
to
are
be
all
licensed, insured, etc.
In Cure Beach, they have to be licensed and insured to operate in Cure Beach.
Yes, street-worthy license plate.
In my terminology that I understand, it's a low-speed vehicle, not a golf cart.
Well, we can take a look at that between now and the next meeting.
Yes, okay.
But, Andy, that's a point we'll need to take up.
And can I also mention too that these are also going to be taxis, and so it's not just rentals; it's also a taxi facility too. So, but the taxi statement in the application refers to taxi related to the golf carts, not to internal combustion engine taxis. But this will be a taxi operation also.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Discussion and consideration of department head business. Administration, Nancy.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. In your agenda packet, you have a memo from me and the department head regarding the pre-application for a coastal area management grant. This is to replace an existing beach access, number 1004.5. Just near Ocean View in the north end of town. It's currently accessed with stairs. This will replace it with an AD compliant 8-foot wide flat ramp, similar to what we have in front of the Oceanfront Park with solar lighting. The estimate is $80,000 total with a cash match from the town of $20,000. It's just part of our policy and the CAMA grant process. I have to get authorization from council, so I'm requesting a motion authorized me to submit this camera grant pre-application for placement of an existing beach crossover. We won't know until probably August from CAMA whether we pass the first go-round, and if we do, then we have to go back and do an official application, which pretty much means that we've gotten a grant, but we won't know until September or October.
And all we have this in the budget in our process this morning, right?
Yeah.
I make a motion to direct the town clerk to apply for the CAMA grant discussed.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That was
unanimous.
The second item that I have, you also have a memo from that. We lease three properties with the military operations terminal at Sunny Point. Two of those, the one lease has expired and the other one's about to expire. That's for Joey's Park land and for the water tower on Assembly Way. The MASU, their Savannah real estate office, has decided to combine those two leases into one. It's a 5-year lease. Our annual cost for that land under this combined lease will be $13,400. Prior to that, with two separate leases, we were paying $17,150 a year. Nice. Over that time. They have also now said to me that they are offering in-kind service I've only had an initial conversation. I haven't been able to get additional information for you tonight. But what they're talking about in kind is some fencing that Mutson may be requesting, similar to the fencing that they just put up in Carolina Beach along the bike path. But I don't know where that fencing is. I'm assuming it's along the fire lane, but I don't know for sure. I also asked them about in kind in terms of stormwater. So I know there was some interest about some of the ditches and so forth. So I'm essentially asking you tonight, do you want me to continue that conversation about in kind? Or do you want us to just go ahead and pay our $13,400 over the 5-year contract? That would be $67,000. So any in-kind that we, work that we did would have to equal that same amount.
Do we have to do that work at one time, Nancy? You know?
No, I don't think so.
Can be. Okay.
As long as it's completed.
First of all, I want to commend you on saving the taxpayers over $3,000 due to your campaign. Second, I think the work you're doing in this in-kind is outstanding, because we can use our money to improve our community and still cover the leases. Any discussion for Nancy?
So,
or do you?
I agree. I think we should see what kind of in-kind they want, and then we need to talk about that very cautiously. Because I know that there are many citizens that would not like that 8-foot fence right behind their property.
Right.
But around the park and the public works area of the lagoon, no one would care if we put fences there. So don't commit to anything. Find out what they would like. And then I think if they'll let us work with them, that could be a great option for both sides.
Yeah, and we can get a specification on exactly what type post, what type fencing, right, that type stuff.
But you mentioned storm runoff too, if we need drainage or something.
Yes. Well,
if we could.
Someone got diverted back to fencing, but I keep going back to that with them.
If we could do something behind Settlers in kind, I think that would be fantastic. That'd be quite a bit of help. It would even help some things that Denise mentioned, I believe. Okay. So, excellent work.
Okay.
Please
so
proceed with that discussion. Okay. Building Department, John. Nothing tonight? Arlen, Finance?
Nothing from Finance.
Okay. Chief Kennedy, Fire Department?
Nothing from Fire.
All right. Chief Bowden, Police Department?
Nothing, sir.
All right. Department Head Messmer, Public Works?
Not one thing.
No? All right. Nikki Keeley, Department Head Recreation, anything?
Just a quick reminder that the Street Festival is next Saturday.
How many folks do we have lined up to come, Nikki? Vendors.
Vendor-wise, over 35, 38 total vendors.
38? Okay. Should be a nice time, a nice day.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Discussion and consideration of old business. Town facility construction update. Alan, maybe this will be the last one.
I've got one. I know. I already know. What we have before you tonight, gentlemen, is the change order number 4. Cleans up a lot of things. It's in your agenda packet if you have any questions about it. But it cleans up a soil credit for bad soil that we didn't run into, along with some other revisions that we've made throughout the project. It just cleans it up and changes the contract amount, increases the contract amount by $30,640. It's about 18 different things.
Now, this is the cleanup, and it still did not exceed our budget.
No, we're still under budget, and I have change order 5. That's the final cleanup that will be brought back to you before the next council meeting. So.
Okay. All right.
Some couple minor things. So.
Good. On time, under money?
Yes, sir.
We like that. Nice job, Alan.
So, we just need approval of this change order.
Make a motion to approve the change order as documented.
Second.
Any questions on the change order? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. No one opposed. Dedication ceremony update. John.
We are going to dedicate this building fairly soon, the 11th of May. starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. The council members just received a little packet. That first page there, gentlemen, is the announcement. Looks like this, if you can read from that far. I didn't put it on the screen, but it is on the town webpage, so you can find it. It announces the date, the time. Ribbon cutting, dedication ceremony starts at 10, an open house and refreshments from 11 to 2, along with a band, music, games for your young children. The second page you have there are the people on my committee and what they've been working on. The third page is the proposed program for that morning. And then some pictures that have outlines of where the festivities will be. The band and some, we'll put up tents. The band and the food will be out at the end of this building between the fire station and police and town hall. After the ceremony in here, we'll adjourn out to the main entrance there and have an official ribbon cutting, and then adjourn on over to the fire station and unveil the sign that the fire station is being named. Unless you have any specific questions, that's where we're headed.
John, good work by the by your team. It's interesting to note, how much is all the food going to cost us?
A zero.
Oh, how did you achieve that?
I have a very special two ladies. One of them is my wife, a little more special than the other, but there are two ladies working the food and beverage, and it's part of that is going to be called a Taste of Fury Beach, and all of the different restaurants, diners, people that sell and are vendors of food and beverage in this town are going to play, along with also some of the off-island grocery stores.
That's outstanding. How about the band?
The band is donating their time.
Absolutely free.
Yes. We're going to have some cost for the tent.
Arlen, you got some competition here for, you know, financial director.
No, I
hope. Arlen's safe, right?
Thank you. It's a good update. Discussion and consideration of new business. The annual free bulk trash pickup.
It's not free.
No, well, it is
Jimmy,
free.
Jimmy, I'll tell you it's not free.
Yeah, we know it's not free, but it appears free.
Well.
So, Mr. Whitley, I think you wanted to speak to that.
Well, I don't know how this got assigned to me, especially during an election year. But we've had lots of conversations, been approached by citizens. We picked up a lot after Hurricane Florence, way above and beyond what we typically do. Spoke with Jimmy beforehand. We're going to push this back to the fall. Hopefully we don't get another storm. We don't do a pickup in early September, then get hit with another one in October. But this will be pushed back, and I think are we going to limit it to yard debris only?
I think
that's a big question.
I think we can take a look at it as we get closer to it. What was the tonnage, Jimmy? Do you remember, or do you remember, Arlen, what the tonnage was we picked up after the hurricane?
Well, I know the cost.
Okay, right. What was the cost of the pickup at the hurricane?
The cost after the hurricane was over $100,000.
Okay.
Free pickup, what they call free pickup, it's not free. Sure. I mean, it's just getting it off the island alone is $12,000 to $14,000 a year, not counting the man hours, time, or the equipment.
We don't charge our citizens to pick it up, so
we do. Well, so that's the other issue, right?
Is, yeah, exactly.
It is. It's part of the budget, but so they do pay for it, but. There are others that do not. Now, one of the other things that we did add is we are adding this hazmat wagon So you will be able to get rid of your electrics, you will be able to get rid of your oils and your paints and many of the other items on a regular basis each month. And that has been set up, and I believe, Nancy, did the announcement go out for the hazmat?
Yes.
It did?
It did.
Okay, I thought I saw it today. So there's going to be other ways, but what is council's wish relative to moving this to...
Well, just also make sure Public Works is finally getting called up from the hurricane. So
well, that's true.
This would put them further behind where they need to be at this point in the year if we did this at this time. So pushing it to the fall allows them to prepare for the season, which is starts next week with Easter and then the street festival right after. Yeah. So it's the best thing to do for the
And one of the important things, we'll put out a note on this, but one of the important things, so you're aware, is Jimmy will be spending a lot of time cleaning drains, preparing for that season.
Well,
the storm season.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say to council and to our citizens, and on the record, I've been against this the entire time I've been on council. And the reason I'm against it is the town has a process for people that want to get rid of debris on Thursdays to pay for it themselves. And twice a year, we let all of our citizens pay for those people that can fit it in that week. And then the rest, those people pay for it because we charge them for it in the budget process. And then if you get into it that free week, you get it. If you don't, I never have put trash out that free week just because I'm against it. I pay Jimmy the week before, the week after, my $40 or $20 to the town because it feels wrong to me that we're allowing citizens to push their cost off on other citizens. That's why I've always been against this, right? And, you know, every council I've told, we should never do this, ever. People should pay their way, and you shouldn't use our authorities to take from all the citizens so that some people can benefit, right? Especially when you can track it and charge the people that are using the service. But every council, for many reasons, you know, this is the way we've always done it, one of them, I think, have supported it, right? Me and Sonny sat here multiple years trying to kill this. I'm with Jimmy now trying to kill this. You know, I understand the council's view. When a hurricane hits, everyone should pay because we got to clean up the community. And we can't leave that stuff there because it gets in the stormwater system and it causes issues with mosquitoes and vermin and other things. But during the year, you know, when you clean your property, you can either take it away or pay the town the reasonable cost of basically what it is for us to get rid of it instead of your neighbors offsetting it because you are fortunate enough to take the week around whatever we pick and do your yard work. And so I've been to the council's will, but that's my position. It always will be. So I say we don't do it the spring or the fall, but I'm okay with council when you guys want to do it. I won't be mad about it because it's happened so many years. I'm okay with it. But I just think positionally, I always believe that if people want something, if it's for all of the citizens, like a fire department or a town community building, okay, we should do that. But if it's for just a few of the citizens, I've always pushed for them to pay for themselves. We built the dog park that way. We've had people do other things where, hey, this is a great idea. Yeah, it is a great idea. The disc golf, another one. We didn't tax all the citizens to pay for that. We said, yeah, the town will support you. We'll get the lease, and we're paying for the lease. But they raised the money and built that for themselves.
And maintain it.
And they maintain it, right? So Jimmy picks up trash out there, but the disc golf and the dog park are perfect examples of citizens, a specific small majority or minority of our citizens wanted something. The council supported them in getting it, helped them, but they paid for it. The other citizens aren't paying for that. And this is a similar thing to me. So.
Well, I tend to agree with you, David. We all clean up our yards in different ways, and right. and other people do use it also. I mean, where we don't know where some of that trash is coming from.
Right.
It can't be coming out of the small lots, can it?
Well, and that's another thing as well that I didn't want to say, but people bring trash from outside of Curry Beach during that week.
Yeah.
And Jimmy carries it off.
I know, but I'll try to say that.
Well, I'll say it because I've washed it. And that really aggravates me because now not only are they're not even our, it's not even our residential stuff that we're paying for. We're all paying for. So If you let your neighbor bring it and dump in your yard and Jimmy charges you, fine. That's between you and whoever dumped it there. But when everyone's doing it, he can't police that. But we know it happens. The other thing I think it makes the town look bad because everyone does it that week. So that week is just a nightmare for Jimmy. And the town looks crappy that week. Bad word for, I guess, the record. But
yeah, that's it's turned into almost 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's if fine. You didn't start early in that week, you wouldn't get as much money. Right.
Well, it sounds like we have three individuals minimally who support moving that. I support moving it. John, where are you?
I think I'm following the camp of stop doing it.
Stop
but
doing
I will certainly move it to the fall.
Well, at this point in time, we're not doing it for the spring. And I'll have to put out a note to say that.
Put on the agenda. I'll be glad to put that note out for you.
And maybe I should put that note out.
So is that a consensus, not doing it in the spring?
Make a motion we don't do it for the spring. How's that?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. I don't have any specific updates other than to say that the folks are on track to finish our beach for the storm damage reduction project. We should see completion around May 2nd based on the latest information in Wednesday's meeting with the Corps and with Weeks Marine. So they have till the 15th. A permit. They really expect to get it done by May 2nd, unless we run into some weather like last night. You'll notice they weren't pumping this morning. So we anticipate closure and soon. And to the people who have seen the north end of the city and where the beach has been completed, I think that it looks quite nice. Any commissioner items?
I have one. Tuesday, May 21st, we will have the final presentation of the Matsu Joint Land Use Plan study here at our town hall. And we'll wrap that 6 or 8 month process up.
Is that an open meeting?
It's an open meeting, 5 p.m., May the 21st.
That's an important date.
Yeah.
We will find out what we receive from the requests we have made to the federal government and the impacts of Sunny Point. We have about 11 items. Was it 11 or was it more?
No, 11.
We have 11 items that we requested specific relief for, and we will hear how the Department of Defense views those. Anything else?
Got one, too.
Yeah.
We did this on the consent agenda, but Mo, thank you. Mo's here tonight, Lucas, our new bicycle pedestrian committee person. And I was on the committee at one point, so if you'd like to talk to me sometime, stop by.
I just need to know where and when.
Nancy could help you on the where, but I'll be glad to talk to you about it.
And so then, just as your emergency manager, we're moving back towards that season that we won't talk about that much, but for the council and the department heads, you'll see emails coming out to review the emergency management plan and make changes to propose at the May meeting so we can discuss them. That will be on the agenda, and then we'll approve it at the June meeting, as we always do, and we'll be scheduling the hurricane presentations that we always do. I think they might be better attended this year. They're pretty lightly attended last year until right before, I guess, some people actually reviewed it. And then the last thing for that is, I think Denise pointed out that of our properties, there are only 946 flood policies. I've always encouraged people to have flood policies. I'm very far back. I'm on Fifth Street, and I have a flood policy. It's a great investment for the issues of stormwater and any type of water that comes from the ground. I can tell you that the water table in Curie Beach is higher than it's ever been in my lifetime. ask the chief, the former chief that's been here a lot longer than me, has it ever been higher in your lifetime? Right? So it's higher than it's ever been. And when the water table's high, that exasperates the stormwater issue. So go ahead.
I just want to mention also that a preferred risk policy, which is a flood insurance policy for any property that is not within the flood zone, runs you about $432
That's right.
A year.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, you know, because Denise's point was very well taken. Jimmy and I were out at 3 in the morning those nights, and some of the problem was debris stopping up stormwater drains from the wash. We were standing on them, kicking it off, and the rain was hard enough that it was rising even with that. So we were keeping them clean, but the system was beyond what it could do. And like I said earlier, an inch and a half in 2 hours, we were way above that Saturday or Friday, Saturday morning, I guess, right? Saturday morning, Sunday morning. So anyway, please review the emergency management plan and provide inputs. I'll be sending out a note to remind you all.
Okay. All right, I would like us to adjourn for a closed session.
Make a motion, we go into closed session for personnel matters.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We have a motion to return from closed session.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So in the closed session, council discussed guidance to the town clerk on clarifying issues around the personnel policy is number one. Number two, council discussed direction on hiring a safety and personnel policy auditor for the town as a professional service. And then number three, council gave guidance to me and the mayor regarding the Sandman properties and having a follow-on meeting with the HOA.
I have a motion.
I make a motion we close the meeting.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We got time for dinner?